Let me tell you something that maybe you already know. Churches are creepy places. And I say that to you because, you know, I have spent some time in the building at night when there's nobody else around. And if you've ever been, even in this building, I've been in the one that I used to spend more time in terms of at night, was in, when I was on staff at First Baptist Lubbock, which had about, I mean, you could hold 3,500 in Sunday school at one time. We had a 2,500 seat auditorium, so you can understand, you know, how big the place was. And I would go in there at night. I'd usually go at 10 o'clock at night. I'd go in and I would spend the time, I'd stay all night in prayer. I'd go from 10 o'clock at night until I'd finish at 6. That was my schedule of what I would do. And so I would go in the church, and, you know, I didn't even turn the lights on. There's no real reason to turn the lights on. I'm just praying. I mean, I'm not reading anything. I'm just praying. And so, you know, and there's plenty of lights that come in from the outside anyway. But during that time, I'm not joking with you. I heard doors open and close. I heard voices. I saw one night, I saw shadows that moved across, and I was sure it was somebody. I ran down there, but I ran down there like, you know, your dog goes after a squirrel. You understand what I'm talking about? This, you know, it runs after the squirrel, but doesn't know what he's going to do if he catches it. You know, and I was running down there, and I didn't know what I'd do if I caught somebody down there in the first place. So, you know, this was the kind of thing. It was really a creepy thing. Well, a few weeks ago, we had a visitation, you know, where they bring the body of a person in, you know, and it was no funeral. We just had the visitation. It was right here. And what happened was, is that the funeral home charges an extra fee to come back afterwards and pick up the body. So I was the last one out. You know, I turned off the lights, and the body was still here and everything. And I turned out all the lights and everything, and I set the alarm and all of that. The next morning, I come in to make sure everything's okay. I'm the first one here to make sure everything's okay. And the body was still here. I'm going to tell you that. He was still here. Because if it had not been here, you know what I would have said? Somebody came in and got the body. Somebody stole the body overnight. I certainly wouldn't have said somebody, I mean, the body came alive and walked out of the place. I wouldn't have said that at all. In fact, I would have had to have a lot of proof to get me to the point where I would have said that we had another resurrection like Lazarus, and that body got up and walked out of the place. Now, isn't that natural? Isn't that what you would expect? You're expecting that there should be some evidence, some really strong and hard evidence, if you're going to see something like that. And I would too. I think a lot of time people think that our faith is believing in something that we know is not true, rather than believing in something that we've got plenty of evidence for. So today I'm going to give you some of the evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the testimony of this empty tomb. Let me first read from Luke chapter 24, verse 1. It says, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus." Now, what were the questions they were saying? They have taken his body. Or do you know where they took it? This is a very natural thing. But they should have understood the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus, for Jesus himself said that he would be resurrected on the third day. In Luke chapter 9, verse 22, it's saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised." You know, we look at this, and I know a lot of people are going to say, "Well, didn't he get resurrected on a Sunday?" That means that he had to be crucified on Thursday. I've heard that so many times. Let me explain this to you in a real, real quick way. I have been here 16 years. I started on Easter Sunday 2005. Okay. How many Easters have I had here? 17. You understand why, don't you? You don't have to go a year from the one that you had you started with. Okay? So when we look at the resurrection in 3 days, what we've simply got is he's crucified by 3 p.m. He's put in the grave before sundown, so we got Friday. He's in the grave on Friday, Saturday, and partially on Sunday. That is 3 days. There's two other ways to figure this out, and I can go to those as well, but this one is enough. The Gospels all record that the women came on a Sunday morning. We know that from not only from that, but from the tradition, it was on a Friday that he was crucified. But what we must come to is, at some point, we must believe or reject the testimony of Jesus. We've got to believe him or we've got to reject it. Because he was either a liar, in other words, he said, I will be resurrected and I will not. He wasn't really, he was just lying. Or he was a lunatic, he actually believed that he was going to do it and it didn't happen. Or he's got to be the risen Christ. You don't really have any options in this. And he can't even be a good teacher, because a good teacher is not a liar or a lunatic. You understand what I'm saying to you? Jesus said that he is the truth. He didn't just tell the truth. He is the truth. He is the genuine one. And at some point, we've got to be able to believe the testimony of the one that we want to trust. Let me explain this. Well, something I did just recently. I just recently bought a new refrigerator. And in that, deciding to buy a new refrigerator, I read reviews on refrigerators. I can tell you what all the model numbers mean now. I've really gone through this sort of thing. I subscribed to Consumer Reports just for the purpose of buying a refrigerator. I'm going to tell you, I started reading their reports on every refrigerator that they had evaluated. I watched YouTube videos on refrigerators, and you can watch YouTube videos on there and the evaluation of those. I went to the stores and I checked out the refrigerators. I opened them up, looked at them. I mean, the whole bit on that kind of stuff, and not just one store. I looked at them and then I bought one. Is that enough? The answer is no. You know what the real, you know, when the rubber meets the road kind of thing? I have to use it. I've got to have a period of time that it has proven itself to be true. And I have to say that when I look at the testimony of Jesus Christ, when I look at all of the things that he said before we get to this spot and we have the resurrection, did I find a spot that Jesus Christ was not true? I cannot find that place. And in this, I must either believe the testimony of Jesus or I've got to negate everything that I have read before all of this. And, you know, and if I do believe him, then I can't hold anything back from him because he's the risen Lord. And Lord means that he is my ruler. He is God himself. So we got the testimony of Jesus. Say we got the testimony of the guards. Now, they're not mentioned in this text. The ladies did not see the guards. Now, this is very important. And we understand that Pilate ordered a Roman guard to be posted there at the site. It says in Matthew chapter 27, verse 62, the next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, Sir, we remember how that impostor said while he was alive, after 3 days I will rise. Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead. And then the last fraud will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, you have a Roman guard. Go make it secure as you can. So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. Now, that doesn't tell you why the ladies didn't see the guard. You understand? They didn't see the guard. Why is that? Matthew chapter 28, verse 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. Now, I don't know what like dead men means. I don't know if that means they were scared stiff or else they're passed out. I don't know which one that is. I'm being honest with you. But I still haven't told you why the ladies didn't see him. Okay, well, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 11, it says, while they were going, now we're talking about the ladies going up there. While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priest all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. So let's put this all together. The ladies are on their way to the tomb when there is an earthquake. The guards become like stone, whatever that means. Now, a Roman guard would have had 16 men in it. Understand, when you look at a Roman guard, it's not one, it's 16 men that are in this Roman guard. They would have stayed on for 4-hour increments of duty. Understand, so you would have 4 hours on, 12 hours off, 4 hours on, 12 hours off. You understand that? It's very simple to figure this out. So we find here that if one of them, and this was their tradition, and what they actually did, not just a tradition, is if one guard falls asleep, they executed all of them. Now think about that. That was what they would do. So what happens? Some of the guards go to tell the chief priest. Why didn't they go to their superiors? Why didn't they go to the centurion? Why didn't they go to their military commander above them? Why did they go to the chief priest? Because what did they know was going to happen when they get there with the and say to them, you know, there was an angel that came and it scared us to death. And, you know, you know what he's going to do? He's going to say, you fell asleep. I'm going to kill you right now. They were going to go ahead and execute them at that spot. So they go to the chief priest because they know that there's going to maybe, or they feel like there maybe they could get some support there. So the others, it says some, didn't go to the chief priest. Well, where'd they go? They're making tracks. I can tell you what they're doing. They're making tracks. They're getting out of there. They're going as fast as they can. They're running as hard as they can. And why do they have to give them money? Ever thought about that? Wasn't it enough to say, we'll save your life? You don't have, if they had to, there wasn't a bribe. That was to let them make some tracks themselves after they told the story. You understand? They needed to have that money to go set themselves up wherever they were going or be able to journey out of that area because they still were going to come under that centurion somewhere. And they said, you know, we got to get out of here. So they came up with some money. They give them to these soldiers and they tell the story. Now, the unbelievable nature of the story that is told provides a firm testimony of the written witness of Scripture. See, the only reason that the guards are kept alive is why? Because dead men tell no lies. You got that? They tell no lies. And these live men needed to tell some lies. And they couldn't lie if they had been executed. It is unreasonable to think that this band of disciples who wouldn't even stand up to these soldiers and all ran off at his arrest would now think, what we'll do is we'll wait till these soldiers go to sleep and then we'll sneak by them. We're going to roll the stone out and then what we're going to do is that we're going to take this body and we're going to sneak it past these soldiers. You think that's reasonable? You see, Mark Twain says, truth is stranger than fiction. Because fiction is obliged to stick to possibilities. Truth isn't. You see, the possibility of a dead man getting up and rising isn't a possibility. But it is the truth. And the truth was much easier to believe than the guards falling asleep and not getting executed. So we got the testimony of the guards. Let's go to the testimony of the stone. The stone is rolled away. The ladies find it that way. This was surprising. There is no explanation why the ladies should have thought that they were going to roll the stone away so that they could go in with their spices. There is no explanation. We don't know if they were thinking we'll roll it away ourselves or they thought maybe the guards will help them, you know, roll it away. What we know is that it was rolled away. Now, could Jesus have been resurrected without rolling away that stone? And the answer is yes. We have a story after the resurrection that in John chapter 20, verse 19, that it says, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, and this is after Jesus resurrected, it says, the doors were being locked. Understand, doors are locked. And it says, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. He just suddenly appeared. He went through the wall. However you want to say that what happened to him, he was able to appear there. So he did not need the stone to be rolled away so that he could be resurrected. So why is the stone rolled away? The stone was rolled away not so that Jesus could get out. The stone was rolled away so that they could get into the tomb. They couldn't do what Jesus did. And they needed to see that he wasn't there. And what we see here is that God could have simply said, well, it happened, but we didn't roll the stone away. You don't have to worry about it. He's really not in there. But they needed to see that testimony of that stone being rolled away. And God leads us to a spot where he wants us to be. And he's leading these ladies to a spot where they understand that there was a resurrection that was there. You see, God leads us along a path. That's always going to be the case. You are here today for a reason. Maybe it's the only time you'll ever be here, but it is for a reason, and God is leading you for that reason. I love the story. It's one of the funniest stories, I think, in the Bible. And where Abraham sends his servant to find a wife for Isaac. This was way before eHarmony. And so what happens is he goes to the right place, and he goes and he says, Lord, I don't know which one of these young women is going to be the right one for Isaac. I said, I tell you what, Lord, will you have the one that is supposed to be the one for Isaac, have her come over and offer me some water and then offer to water my animals as well? And that seemed to be the agreement. So he goes in there, and Rebecca comes up and says, let me give you some water, and let me water your animals as well. And you know what the guy does? He backs off and says, is this the right one now, Lord? And I'm going, didn't you just pray that? Come on. You know, this is a story. God leads us along like that. Leads us along. He brings you here. You hear this story, and you believe it. And you know what I believe? God wants you to have a relationship with him. Not just know about him, but know him. Look at the path, and you can discover the truth. The stone was rolled away so that they could see that Jesus wasn't there. Now, do you think that Jesus wanted them to believe? Yes. That's exactly what happened. Let's go on. Luke chapter 24, verse 4. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, and these men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day arise. So we have now the testimony of the angels. Two angels appear before them. Now, they're not normal people. You got this. They're shiny. That's what we see here. It says, they ask him, why are you seeking the living among the dead? So what they're saying is they're declaring that Jesus is alive. And they've recited again what Jesus has been told. And they tell him, go out and tell these other people. See, let me tell you about angels. Angels were created before the earth. Understand that. I can prove it to you, but not today. Okay? I can prove it to you, but not today. So they have known Jesus for a long time. They didn't just meet him 33 years before that. They have known him from the beginning of time. It's when they were created before the earth was created. That's why you have the demons, which were angels. They recognize Jesus sometimes. You see that in the scripture. That's because they've known him for a long time. Now, here's the thing. Angels are God's messengers. They were at Jesus' birth, right? Why wouldn't we expect them to be at his resurrection? Think about that for a moment. Wouldn't we expect them to be there? You know, when you have somebody that is very special to you, aren't you there for them when they have special things that happen in their lives? Don't you make a special effort to be there? For example, I expect my wife to be at my 70th birthday party, if her grandchildren don't give her something better to do on that day. But anyway, but you know what I'm saying. The angels are there. It's evidence right in front of us. Luke chapter 24, verse 10. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women who were with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them as idle tale, and they did not believe them. Let's look at the testimony of obedience. The ladies go tell the disciples. They think it is nonsense. The Greek word there is hosaileros. It is now a medical term. It was used as a medical term for a long time. Hosaileros was used when a doctor would talk about a person being in delirium and what they would say. It was just utter nonsense. Utter nonsense. So this is the very words that are used here. It is just absolute nonsense. It sounds absolutely crazy. The disciples had watched the crucifixion for themselves. They are given this testimony, but you have to understand something about these ladies. These ladies believe the story. They believe the story because they went to the tomb. They believe the story because they saw that the angels. They could believe the stories because there's no guards left there for them to look around. They could believe the stories because the stone is rolled away for them. They could believe the story. See, you must believe to tell. If you're going to be able to say something to somebody, you're going to believe it in the first place. I was in Greece and I had a guide that was there. And I was talking to her about the fact that off the coast there was a place where Paul would have a shipwreck, actually out in the Mediterranean. And because there was a storm. And she said, there's no storms out there. I said, there was at that time. And she says, how do you know that? I said, because it says so in the Bible. And she said, you don't really believe everything in the Bible, do you? And I said, yes, I do. Absolutely, I do. See, we have to come to a place where we say, is the Bible true or not? And I have decided that it is true. It stood for time. The Holy Spirit has watched over it. I can tell you that with no doubt in my mind. And your life needs to reflect that you believe everything that's in it. So what happens? Luke chapter 24, verse 12. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Now, this synoptic does not tell the story as another one does. Another one tells the story that John and Peter took off running. John's a younger man. He actually passes Peter, but when he gets to the tomb, he doesn't go in. He lets Peter go in first. Maybe he did it because Peter was an older than him. Maybe he did it out of respect, or maybe he was just scared. I have no idea on that. Maybe what he wouldn't find. But what they did was they went home marveling, but they didn't understand because they wouldn't let themselves understand. You know, I used to say that people didn't believe because da, 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 da. I used to all that. And what I realize now is people just choose not to believe. They could believe, but they choose. They say, no, I'm just not going to believe that. And so you've got to look at the testimony. And you've got to say, should I believe in this? And the answer must be yes. Now, I have a crazy friend. He passed away just in February. And he was an actor and entertainer and all of this. And so let me tell you, there was nothing that this guy wouldn't do. And he told me that whenever he's landing in a city, he will say, you know, he's going into any city as the plane comes down. And if you've flown, you know that people kind of get quiet right before the plane hits the ground. You know what I'm saying? And he'd always yell out, so this is Chicago. And every time he said, there's always a couple of people on the plane that go, oh. They think they got on the wrong plane. Now, why should they believe that? They didn't buy a ticket to Chicago. When they got to the airport, they went up to the gate, it didn't say it was going to Chicago. The gate agent took their ticket when they scanned it in. It didn't reject it because they were getting on the wrong plane going to Chicago. When they got on the plane, there was nobody in there talking about going to Chicago. Look at the evidence. Look at the evidence, and you can see a couple of things. You can understand what God is telling us, and you can understand where you are going at the same time. So look at this testimony. Is Jesus the risen Lord? I think it's beyond a doubt. Pray with me. Father, I do pray for